Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Zoom cares about me as much as I care about AEW.
Welcome everybody to Brotherly Love Wrestling. And this week we have the return of Joe as my co-host. It's good to see Joe again. I haven't seen him since WrestleMania. He's been a little down and out and recovered, so we're good. Joe, I mean, obviously last week I had Bill on to fill in your shoes as best he could, but how many people could actually do that?
Probably a lot of people. Actual shoes, yeah. Physically, I'd say a good majority of people could probably fill it.
I do real quick, even though we talked about Mania last week without you. Your
allergies.
Your reaction to sitting next to your dad at his first WrestleMania, at the biggest WrestleMania of all time. What was it like for you at least seeing him? And then, of course, everything we saw on night two that made probably him the best possible Mania he could have went to.
So by nature, I noticed things. I noticed he wasn't enjoying himself for a portion of it because of the idiot that just kept standing up in front of him to record absolutely nothing and then play fucking video games while the actual matches were happening.
Yeah.
He would stand up every entrance, make sure he recorded everything.
Yep.
And then he would go play video, like people collecting
coins or some kind of poker because you could audibly hear
the coins who had being collected. His volume all the way up at WrestleMania playing fucking like some people just suck.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. Yeah. Some people just suck. That being said, actually sitting next to my dad for Mania, probably. I don't know. I don't want to say it's full circle, but it kind of is full circle of wrestling fandom, where he gets me started, and then I get to fulfill a bucket list item for him and take him to Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of it felt right, and then the show was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like nonstop, like all of it, like absolutely night and day from the. Other from 35.
Well, yeah.
Just being there and like being like, I don't remember being that excited for 35's card. I kind of feel like I was more excited to say I went to WrestleMania than I was.
I agree.
Because we didn't know what was going to happen in 5 years. We thought that this was the East Coast run. This was the East Coast trip.
Yeah.
This is going to be the only fucking place they're going to come to within, 4 hours or 8 hours of us. Even,
yeah,
gotta do it. This one was like stars aligned perfectly, like just time that it happened, the people involved, of just the whole roster and how it everything played out, the being in our city. I mean, it was the perfect fucking storm of like everything that like there were. What did you say? I didn't watch the show. I'm a terrible, terrible friend and a terrible showmate. That's a real word. Showmate.
Oh, or co-host. I mean, either one.
I am no longer co-host. I am Larry's Show me.
What were you going to say?
I don't remember. Oh, no, I didn't want. I was going to say, if you guys were discussing last week and you were to say the only, I don't even want to call it, I don't know, depending on who you are, the only downside, I'm guessing that if you were to say anything about the whole show, and this is like if you're really trying to fucking nitpick, the only thing is that Austin didn't show up.
Yeah. Yes, it was that. We did say that. And we said for the, even though comparably in Philadelphia in early April, it was nice weather that it was.
Oh, so the only something that the WWE couldn't control.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what Bill said. He said the fact that that's what we're nitpicking tells you how great Mania actually was.
Yeah, and we were all the way the fuck up, dude. Yeah. And kind of were like partially obstructed view because we had that one pillar that blocked the center view of the ring.
Yeah.
Like that was like the only thing, but there's fucking a ginormous fucking screen that you can actually catch like what's actually fucking happening.
Yeah.
The only thing was the ill prep of the weather, which is why I was out last week. And I don't even think Austin not showing up was, I don't even think that was detrimental, or I wouldn't even say that was a negative. It didn't need him.
It didn't need him. No. I mean, we wanted it obviously because it would have been fucking amazing, but it was still amazing even without him.
The fucking show was like, it was like one of those, like, it was perfect. Like to me, like it was perfect. It was the best time. It was like, it was just the fucking, from Seth Rollins's entrance to start night two to getting to see the Mummers do a fucking mini parade down the WrestleMania ramp. Dude, how fucking cool is that? Yeah. It's like they mixed everything fucking perfectly. We got not only that, but in that same fucking match, we got a cash in for the title. We got to see Damian Priest fucking cash in on Drew McIntyre. And they even suspended the belief after the match. Because yeah. I remember thinking it. I don't know if I said it out loud. I was like, well, I guess we're not getting it.
Yes. It looks like.
I think you said it. I think you came through my right ear of, I think he's getting his happy ending, or he's getting his moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone at that point was chanting, you deserve it.
Yeah.
And it was just and that's what you said. You were like, well, I guess he's actually getting it. And then all of a sudden, he does this.
And then I said to myself immediately after that, I was like, well, he's actually out here way too long.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does the suck it to CM Punk, turns around, and Punk fucking sweeps his leg. And it's like, oh boy, here we go.
And the crowd lost it. Yeah. And the crowd knew they were back in the game. There was that fucking scene from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
And back in the game. Dude, the whole fucking show, great.
Yeah.
Just like, and even like, you call them the cool down matches. They weren't fucking like, they were still exciting. They still had some good parts to them.
They had ways of making all the matches interesting enough to where they weren't just sitting on your hands. Like when you did the street fight and just obviously we're talking strictly night two. When you had the street fight, you added Bubba Ray Dudley, and you had Get the Tables and What's Up and all that. When you had
that's not a story, that's just that's, believe it or not, I know this is going to sound crazy. That's entertainment.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. Like they did things.
Entertainment can be good.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't think that was possible.
Like they did things throughout the night, throughout matches that maybe would have been lull matches that kept everyone invested throughout. And that's all you ask is just at least keep me interested a little bit, even if I may not be interested in the story or the story may not be this strong, at least find some way of connecting me. And they did that throughout the entire night. And it wasn't even a long night. When we look at the clock, it was what, 10:40 when the bell rang for Cody? Like, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I asked you, I was like, this is the second to last match when it was Bailey and
EO.
EO Sky. Yeah, I was like, this is already the second match or the second to last match. I was like, dude, this thing flew. Like I thought like 1:30 was what I already had it set in my head. I was like, all right, 1:30. I'm not gonna get home. I'm at least probably not gonna get home to 1:30. And surprised us in that sense too.
Yeah.
It was entertaining in a very comfortable time frame.
Yeah.
And we got to see the fucking triple threat. How good was the fucking triple threat?
Oh.
That could have been easily fucking match of the night.
As far as wrestling goes, yeah. Yeah. Like, just pure wrestling.
We got AJ. We got the fucking cool. We got the LA Knight Mania entrance. We had a lot of good that was done at that WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was fun. And already...
They continued the momentum, too.
That's what I'm saying. Already, Monday and Friday. Just pouring through. I mean, it doesn't seem to slow down. And now my cousin Jimmy, who I've talked to you about, who got me into wrestling when we were kids, and is the reason I'm a Shawn Michaels fan, because he's a giant Shawn Michaels fan. He texted me, can't remember if it was Monday night or Friday, but he was like, boy, the stories have really slowed down in WWE. And I was like, I was going to text him back. Yeah. And like, I didn't say anything. I was like, all right. I wasn't.
What was he watching?
I don't know. So like, I wasn't watching SmackDown. I wasn't watching SmackDown at the time. So like, I was like, let me watch SmackDown and I'll answer him. Watch SmackDown. And I was like, I never answered him. And I know he watches. So okay, I guess I can answer him now and text him back. But I don't, like, I look.
Wait, answer him right now.
That's what I'm doing. Across the board, I think the stories have, if not gotten better, there's been more of them. You've gotten all over the place.
I thought and hoped was going to happen. You got Chad Gable turning on Sammy.
Yeah.
I was hoping that was going to happen, and it happened. I was like, all right, great. I'm all in on this one.
Yeah. Not only that, you have now the Bloodline just got – that story had gotten more interesting again. Remember, it peaked and then went down to a valley. Now you got fucking Tama Tonga in the WWE. Now you got people throwing out all these things of, well, Fatu signed, so now maybe he's coming up, and maybe it's going to be solo Fatu and Tonga with The Rock coming back and having the heel Bloodline, but then Roman's going to come back and he's going to take Jimmy and Jay under his wing, and they're going to bring in Sammy again, and they're going to reform and be the good Bloodline, and then you're going to have Bloodline Civil War. You have all these things working. You have a, even though it sucks, you have a Rhea Ripley who's hurt, but the emergence of a Liv Morgan who, if they fumble Liv Morgan now, with this opportunity you have of her being this heel and taking her out and this revenge tour, like, you can skyrocket her. You still have the United States Championship story that has to be told of what's going to happen next. You have the tag team titles that got really, really nice, surprisingly nice, new world tag team championship belts.
They're more circular, like your head.
Yes. Yeah, much more circular. Yeah. And not the big, ugly red and blue straps. I'm so happy it's back to the traditional black straps. I think there's a ton of more storylines, and everything's getting better. You have Cody. You have the number one contendership that Jay won. Like, I don't know what he was watching. I don't get it. Jim, I think you're fucking crazy. I think there's stories out the ass. And I don't know. I think we have more stories at WWE now than we've ever had.
Do you know what they say? Better out than in.
I mean, what was your reaction to Tama Tonga on SmackDown?
I thought it was cool. I mean, it wasn't like one of those, like, oh, holy shit, we already knew he was coming. So, kind of, I don't know if it lessened it, but it's still cool. I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I didn't have crazy expectations. So, I'm kind of like, all right, I want to see where things go. Like, he's in the storyline that you would want to be in.
Yeah.
You're in the place where you would hope to be at. You come in, you're at like the top of the card. Like, you're with the Bloodline. You're with good company.
So, yeah. And not only that, you're around Heyman all the time now. So anyone who's talking about, oh, well, he should have had a little bit of run on NXT. And first of all, this is a veteran in professional wrestling. He's been around forever.
He's already in it. He was already taking shots before he even got here. I mean, he's in it. He's there.
Yeah. And not only that, you have one of the best minds in wrestling that he can, if he needs it, can bounce stuff off and talk to Heyman all the time. Like, what more do you need? Like, he's not a dumb dude. Like,
so this is how it feels, and I think you're going to get this right away. Like, it's the Triple H era of this is officially dubbed, and it's fast paced, and there's a lot going on, but it's control. It feels like fucking Black and Gold. But main roster, yes, a lot more. He's got more established arsenal to play with, so he knows he can dig deeper in the storylines. Because you're in NXT. I mean, he got a lot out of everybody that he had. And, well, I don't know about everybody, but a lot of people that he had. Like, a lot of those guys are biggest successes. Like, the Garganos, the Tommaso, Andrade, like their biggest successes were in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anybody knows that, like, I don't know, Balor is one of those guys, like KO, that snuck through and was like hit that main roster level like hard and like quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Finn Balor was the first ever Universal Champion.
Yeah,
like crazy. Kevin Owens came in and feuded with John Cena. Like, that was different. That was different. That was the upper echelon, I should say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's interesting. I mean, it's all those things that you want it to be. It is. It's all those things. Entertaining. Like, look, I'm becoming – like, as much of a, like, catch wrestling, technical wrestling that I've wanted to see. And look, my fandom might go in waves too. Like, right now, I don't really care about, like, the actual, like, if they're good matches, like, cool. But the technicality that comes with them, like, I just want to be, like, I just want to see where, like, the character and the story goes. Like, I know what I'm in for. I know it's good. I'm in for the entertainment. But I'm locked in harder for the entertainment right now than I am the wrestling.
Yeah.
Needs to be a happy medium. And I think that's what AEW needs to recognize, learn, develop. Like, there's a happy medium between really good wrestling and some entertainment and storyline. Like, you can have both. You can make it make sense.
Yeah, make these phenomenal matches have a lead up with a story. Like, it shouldn't be that hard, though.
The problem is that, well, the problem and the answer is that one believes in character development, not just wrestling ability, like actual character and persona development. It's like, that's where you get, like, if they happen to be a great, that's what I mean. Daniel Bryan was an anomaly.
Mm hmm.
Like, he was and he didn't even have his full arsenal in WWE. They just marketed him better.
Yeah. Yeah, they made his character better.
My heart of hearts, I believe they marketed him better in WWE.
They did. They absolutely did.
Like, look at what they're doing with Okada. Like, it's not, like, that's not the, I want to see the, I wanted to see Okada in WWE because the presentation would have been there. It would have been there. I would have been more invested. I already know he can wrestle. I've seen the matches.
That's the thing I said to Bill. I said this to Bill last week when we were talking about this. And I said, there's no way in hell that Okada should be having squash matches. Like, for what? What are you doing with Okada in a squash match for?
They're trying to show, like, his dominance. It's an old school tactic.
I understand that, but if any company doesn't need to do it, it's fucking AEW. They're the insider fans. They're the fans that watch everything. Why the fuck are you? And you don't. We all know you don't worry about the casual fans. You strike severely for your niche group of fans. So why the fuck are you doing a squash match for Okada? This is the WWE. You don't have to get people to know him because WWE fans are stupid.
Those diehard fans that you were talking about, I don't want to say all of them. Like, you know how people overthink everything? Like, people overthink that to the point of where they think they'll have this figured out. Like, oh, they're doing this with them so they can do this with them. It's just that because they're so optimistic. Hopelessly optimistic.
I get that. I'm a Flyers fan. I live on hopelessly optimistic. But, like, when it comes to guys like that, I get it. You don't have the ultimate story for Okada. Kenny's not healthy. That's obviously where everyone wants to go. Everyone wants to see.
Is it going
to
be a fucking one and done? Like, we've already seen it. Like,
yeah, but still, at least there's story there. There's a story there regardless. It's built in. You don't have to do shit.
How many times during the broadcast, during the show, is Tony Khan going to ejaculate? Yeah, I'm going to put an over-under. I'm going to put a prop bet. The over-under on...
What, when that match happens?
On jizz stains on Tony Khan's pants. The 43 jizz stains. Over-under.
Wait, before we go...
He's going to hit like 100.
Go... Actually, in the AEW, I do want to ask you one more thing on.
Sure. I'm here.
SmackDown.
Ask away.
SmackDown. Raw.
This is your interview.
Raw. Shut the fuck up. Did you see the New Day come out?
No.
You didn't see the New Day. So you didn't see the QR code.
No.
Uncle Howdy's coming back.
Oh.
The New Day.
Is that why they're? I've seen a lot of things. On the line that was talking about like perfect way to bring back the aura and the vision of Bray Wyatt and kind of pay homage to him at the same time. Yeah, so that's why they were saying all that.
There was a screen malfunction. You saw a crow, and then you saw some kind of symbol, and then you saw a QR code, and then it went away. So, like, I hit pause, I rewound it, hit pause, clicked the QR code, opened it. It took you to a website that had, like, two lines that looked like words that were split. So, like, each letter was split off of one word, and each letter was split off of this word. So what you needed to do was take both words and put them together, and it equaled out what the full word was. So I did that. And it led you to a website that was a video that just basically said the time to heal is now. And like it was just very clearly, if it's anyone else, it's going to be ridiculous. But I think everybody, especially after watching, did you watch Bray Wyatt's documentary yet?
I only saw parts of it.
Okay.
I saw Bo Dallas's.
You saw thing what? Now. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the credits, the lantern is sitting at the end and it's just sitting there. And all of a sudden, the light turns on and there's a flash, and Uncle Howdy's standing behind the lantern. And then it cuts black. So they're saying was the sign that Bo Dallas is coming back and going to bring Uncle Howdy.
Yeah.
So, and then now these have started. And not only that, Eric Redbeard has been pulled from dates for his independent stuff. Is no longer available. And it looks like it might be him, Eric Redbeard, Strowman, and maybe even Alexa Bliss.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm so hyped. I can't wait. Because you add all the stories we have, and then you put fucking Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt family back together. Oh man,
it would be fun. It's gonna be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's another Triple H guy, Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
They had him running around as a social
outcast.
Whatever, outcast.
Wasn't he? No, was Rollins. I can't remember who the first NXT champion was. I want to say it was Bo Dallas.
It was.
It was Bo Dallas, right? I don't know why I was thinking Seth Rollins.
NXT but, champion?
Yeah. No,
pretty sure it was Bo Dallas was the inaugural, and then Neville beat him for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Bo. But yeah, maybe, I mean.
No, maybe it wasn't, because then Neville, maybe it was wrong.
It is Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, and then what, did Bo Dallas beat him? Oh no, Big E was in there.
I swore he was the first champion, man. I guess not.
Maybe the first champion of the new era of the black and gold.
I mean, he did become champion. He was the third champion, and that's when Neville beat him after that. But
and then Sammy beat Neville.
Yeah. Huh. So I was right. That's weird. Oh, you know why? Because they recognize his reign, because that's when they first went on TV. That's why I thought he was the first one.
He was the first TV champion.
Yeah. Rollins was the first NXT, but then once they went on TV, it was
Bo Dallas. The first television heavyweight champion.
But yeah, I mean, I'm so excited for WWE. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
I think the upcoming pay-per-view Backlash going to be in France is just...
France. You have to say it like that, France.
I'm not saying it like that.
France, same time, France. You look like a real nasally. And
not doing it, no.
Come on, do it, France.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure I'm spot on.
You are, but I think it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see the crowd. Like, France is not like a crowd I would typically think of when I think of professional wrestling.
There's going to be, I can't wait till they laugh when R-Truth comes out. All you're going to hear is a bunch of like that. You're going to hear the stadium. 70,000 people go.
wait. When you did that, immediately I think of all of that and Kel in the bathtub. Or no, Keenan in the bathtub, and him doing that laugh and speaking in the French dialect, dude. Oh my god!
The fucking bathtub with the rubber ducky.
Oh my god. Oh,
well,
shit.
It's gonna be 70,000 people doing that.
Oh, that was so funny.
For that alone, it would be worth watching. Isn't that what, at 1 o'clock or some shit here?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the time, but most likely. I mean, probably a 5-hour difference or something.
5 or 6 hours ahead of us?
Yeah, something like that. Something same time as Eggy is, almost. give or take. I'm sure.
An hour.
Yeah. What I will say about AEW is the new pay-per-view coming up, Dynasty. Like,
what the fuck? What's a Dynasty?
What do you mean?
Who's Dynasty? Are we talking AEW now?
That's what I just said. Yes. When you're not listening.
No, I didn't know what Dynasty was. What the hell is Dynasty?
Dynasty is their pay-per-view, which comes on Sunday.
This Sunday?
This Sunday.
Oh, you have the card?
I do have the card. Would you like me to read it?
Absolutely, please.
Okay. Oh my god. I'm not gonna be able to hear anything else now. I'm just gonna see Kanan floating in a fucking tub.
Could you crop him over you for this? Put him in the skyline.
Just have him floating there. I'll just do a gif of him just sitting there and laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
All right. So, and this is why I say, like, you can take we can take everything anything away from AEW, but we know they're going to put on amazing wrestling matches. It's going to happen regardless. So you got Ospreay Danielson, which is a match that everyone's fucking been waiting for.
I mean, that's not worth $50 though, or $60, however much it is.
Samoa Joe and Strickland.
So this could be when Strickland finally wins the fucking title.
Yeah. Right,
I'll give you this. You're starting off good.
Okay.
Where? Let's see where you lose me.
Probably right here.
Oh, great.
But if we would think like 5 or 6 years ago, this would be a dream match. Even though it's the fourth time, this would be a dream match. And I think it's lost its luster because of the Bucks, and that's Bucks FTR.
Yeah.
It's still a great fucking match.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
They're going to put on a good match. It just doesn't mean anything, really. Like, it doesn't mean – like, that's what – like, that's what I'm saying about character development. Like, they let – the Bucks, like, self-sabotaged. And whoever's been booking the fucking – booking FTR, like, did not keep their hot streak alive. They didn't do them any favors.
You also have Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa for the title.
I'm all out on Thunder Rosa.
You're out?
All out.
Really?
All in on Toni Storm, but until they get me someone who I am invested in to face her, which, let's face it, it's probably going to be fucking Sasha. Marissa Tomei or whatever her name is now. Is that close? Was that close?
Mercedes Moné? I mean, kind of.
Marissa Tomei, yeah.
Mercedes Moné.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei.
I don't know. I think Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm are quietly probably going to kill it.
Like I said, wrestling-wise, yes. It's what happens after the wrestling. It is what happens after the wrestling is what loses me. Like, cool, you put on good pay-per-views. Like, I'm past the point of where I want to spend money to fucking watch pay-per-views that are just good wrestling. Like, because it's like I'm not going to watch it the next week.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what the fuck's going to happen.
All right. Next. We have Okada versus Pac for the Continental Championship.
Continental Championship, yes. Like the Intercontinental. This is Continental. Continental breakfast. I hope they bring pancakes to this match.
They're not the New Day. They can't do that.
That's no, they're the not. New Day. You know what? They're not. The New Day is fantastic. I love the New Day. They are not the New Day. They are the New Day, not. Borat?
Next. We have the AEW International Championship on the line.
Not the Continental, not the National.
International.
International. So now we're going inter.
Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly.
I mean, that's got banger written all over it.
Yeah.
Written from that way, all of the matches that you said so far, that's my favorite one.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
That's my favorite one.
Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale in for the TBS title.
Okay. Wake me up before they go. What did you envision on that one? Was it Zoolander?
Yes. Adam Copeland.
Did you picture me fucking dancing around with fucking gas fucking shooters?
And the slushies.
Yeah.
Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black in a six-man tag.
No. I'm all out on six-man tags.
Yeah, I agree.
I am all out on their fucking, especially theirs. I'm tired of it. Thank God they fill their fucking, because they can't fill their TV with anything but six-man tags. Thank God they fill their pay-per-views fucking correctly.
Yeah, so as of right now, they have 8 matches on that card.
That's light. So
we're
getting 2 to 3 more.
As we record, Dynamite is airing right now, and then you still have Rampage and Collision before Sunday. So
when are they going to get rid of one of those shows? They're fucking, come on. What are they doing? Although I did see part of Battle of the Belts.
Oh, did you really? I didn't even get a chance to watch it.
Believe it or not. Of all things. And? I was like, oh, fuck it, it's on. So Okada. Pretty good. Still don't get what the fuck they're doing with them, but sure.
So I know you didn't see a lot of it, and I kind of explained it to you before we went on air, but I'm just going to ask a simple question, not really having to break it down. Do you think it was smart or stupid for AEW to air that footage of CM Punk and Perry backstage? Sorry,
you told me to break it down, so I did. Therefore, and thereas... Can I just say this? Maybe this could be the finishing statement. I hate Tony Khan.
Can we get some breaking news? Like, we didn't fucking know this?
This makes me hate him more. Or it makes me care about him and his company less, which is what you don't want to do. That's what it makes me care less. Somehow, it makes me care. Like, what the fuck was the point? Was it to get the Bucks to come out and, like, to just get... Like, I don't get it. Was it to get them, like, weird heat?
I mean, I get what they were at first trying to do. They were trying to say, like...
Do you?
Listen. Hold on, wait. Listen. Because I know you didn't see it on Dynamite. And I only told you about it. But the lead to it was the Bucks sitting in front of a TV about to air it and saying how... With the reason they lost to FTR at Wembley was because this happened and took their attention away. And if that wouldn't have happened, they wouldn't have lost to FTR. So they're trying to swerve this footage and make it into a story that...
They're trying to use it for them.
Exactly. They were trying to do something, even and though...
They did it terribly.
I agree. I'm not saying they did it well. I'm just saying I understand the thought process behind it, even though I think it was fucking stupid to air it. I get what they were trying to do, even though it didn't work and it was stupid. You were trying to spin it and be like, "Oh, we'll make this."
It doesn't matter what we think what they thought they were going to pull off. It matters that it was fucking stupid. That's what we get out of it. We don't need to know anything else. We don't need to know what they thought, because if that's what they thought, then they're fucking stupid. That's not good. That's not fucking good.
And not only that, you have fans chanting CM Punk in the arena.
They're the head of the company. They're supposed to be the face of the fucking company. God, that's fucking... People want to talk shit on WCW? Like, the dog days and the bad days of WCW? God, I would take that right now over this.
I'm so glad you said that. So wait, so when what you another thing you probably didn't see is after that aired, right? After that segment aired, they went back to the table, the commentary table. And Tony Schiavone is sitting like this. And for those watching, I have my hand in my head.
Ah, very good description. That's exactly how he was.
And everyone screenshotted it. Everyone screenshotted it and said, "Huh. Looks like WCW 2000 Bash at the Beach to me." Like, and basically comparing that this was the jump the shark moment for AEW. This is what happens in a year from now. This is what we're going to point at and say, see, just like WCW, there's their moment. This is what led them to go under. And look at Schiavone. He was there then. And then they took a picture from that segment of WCW. And then, of course, that Wednesday night, and they put it side by side, and it's the exact same look. It's the exact same fucking look. So then Tony came out on his podcast and said, "We are nothing like WCW. Anyone who thinks that, you just want to think that because you want to see us go under. That this company has nothing like WCW, and you just want to see us die. That is not what it was."
You have more outlets nowadays to try and fucking lie to fucking more people. Cool. You're not anything like WCW. WCW drew money WCW tried to make money. They made some fucking terrible calls, but their end goal was to make money. That's not their end goal.
And for 83 weeks, they were the number one company in the country. There was no one that could come. Even WWE couldn't come close.
They didn't shy away from competition. They knew how to get the comp. They knew how to make it competitive. Tony Khan doesn't care about making it competitive. He's playing fucking dress up. He's playing dolls. He's playing with fucking dolls. He's not fucking running a fucking company. Whoever is running the actual company and the majority of the... Because we know what he's there doing. He's there fucking... He's putting together his fucking dream matches. That's all he's doing. That's all his fucking main job is. And he fucking listens to the Bucks. Whatever the Bucks say. That's what he listens to. That's why you got fucking guys that are coming out and saying, like, how fucking... Like, you got Matt Hardy saying... Like, how do you not, how can you not find, like, I've been in this business how long? I've come up with how many different, like, guys like that saying, like, what, like, how don't you have anything, like, how can't you fucking find something for me to do? Not even, like, in the fucking ring.
Well, and not only that, look at all the veterans backstage. All the veterans backstage that you have that you don't listen to.
They don't fucking, they don't want to listen to them.
The producers.
They think that they have they think they have their pulse on the fucking the popularity of like today's world. Dude, they're not even anywhere fucking close. The blueprint. I will always say the fucking blueprint. It's there. That's how you become successful. But they're not trying to become successful in that sense. They're trying to get their goal is to get as many people to watch their good wrestling matches. The problem is that people don't care. The vast majority don't care about the wrestling matches. They want to talk about the fucking cool shit that they did getting into the wrestling match.
Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up, that they don't care about the wrestling matches. I was scrolling through TikTok. Today's Wednesday. It's probably about Monday or Tuesday. And obviously, we're over a week out at this point from WrestleMania. And this girl popped up, this random, probably 20-something girl popped up. And she said, I keep getting these reaction videos of wrestling fans reacting to some guy named The Undertaker. And she's like, I'm not a WWE fan. I don't like wrestling. I never have liked wrestling. She's like, but I keep watching these videos and it keeps making me smile. She said, you hear this ding and the crowd goes nuts and you see these grown men jumping up and down and high-fiving. She was like, I don't understand what this is or why they're doing this. She's like, I think I have to go back and I have to watch and see what makes people react like that. I have to watch WWE now. And in that 30-second video of her watching that, I'm like, this is why they're not in the same business with WWE. That right there. Some random 20-something girl who has no idea what wrestling is, doesn't even know who The Undertaker is going to see reaction videos of guys doing what we were doing when we heard the gong go off.
We just literally did that, what, a little over a week ago? We literally just did that in a live crowd.
But that's what she's talking about. That's what she's saying. It's the reaction video, like, of all that. Yeah,
we literally just lived this. We just did that.
Yeah. And because of that, she wants to know what makes people feel like that. So she wants to go back and start watching WWE. Yeah,
here's the thing, that nobody's got that. Like, really, like, to the point of where, like, they got the crowd by the balls like that.
Cody does.
Yeah, I guess.
Absolutely, Cody.
Or Seth. Seth had that. All right. There's not as many people, though.
Not as many, I'll give you that. But there are. There's those people, for sure. And not only that, certain different people can catch other people for certain things or certain ways. So there could be something that catches this girl. But just that small example is one of those reasons where wrestling and seeing a wrestling match is not going to do that to somebody. But that moment and the joy and the surprise that came out of the Undertaker's gong before we even seen him, that's something that hooks someone in immediately. And they want to watch it. That's what we're talking about. That's why WWE's, what they're doing is so important right
Maybe
now.
People don't lose their mind when they hear Super Kick Party.
No.
They don't go absolutely apeshit.
No, only about the 2,500 people in attendance Ooh. At the building.
Shots fired from Larry. All aboard the pain train.
But all right, I think that does it. Oh, you know what? Before we do wrap it up, I do want to ask you, because me and Bill gave ours, so I wanted to ask you yours.
Okay, yes, please include me in your guys' fucking secrets.
No secrets. The show's been out for a week and you still haven't fucking listened or watched it, so I don't want to fucking hear it.
I just can't stand listening to Bill.
I can't stand listening to myself, so I don't usually listen anyway. But of WrestleMania weekend, I'll include the whole weekend because we did shit all weekend. What was the one moment that you'll take away from this weekend? I mean, obviously, you can go to the obvious go-to of Cody winning or whatever, but like, is there something that sticks out in your head you will never forget that'll signify this weekend? Are you talking about
just in the ring? Like what we saw?
Anything. The one moment you think you hear WrestleMania 40 weekend, and immediately, what's the first thing you'll remember from?
With you, my dad, and my cousin.
Yeah.
100%. Oh, yeah. That was, it was like I said it to start it, and I'll say it to end it. It was the perfect storm. 100%. The perfect storm was that Sunday. It was just like it was perfect. If someone were to mention WrestleMania 40, like my first thing is Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and it was perfect. That's what I will take away always from that. Like still being cold. Like being cold was like it took my mind off of being cold. Like I forgot about being cold for a good part of that.
Yeah.
Like it was only in between the matches. Like I was like, yes. Oh man. This fucking, like, I realized it again. But once the fucking shit started, like, everything started, I was like, I don't care. And I think that was part of, like, I let my, like, my body just, like, went to, like, I don't care mode. And I was just like, all right, well, fucking, we're going to freeze you to death then.
Yeah.
But I literally didn't care.
Like, yeah, in between sucked.
I don't even remember it, really. Like, I remember, like, looking down and, like, thankfully had, like long sleeves that, like, went past my hands. The only thing I remember is like I'd put that over my hands, I'd be like, ooh, a little relief. And then shit would happen again. I'd be like, ooh, I don't care anymore. And then fucking the last match, that was like I could have been numb. Wouldn't have known. Wouldn't
it was care. Adrenaline right to the fucking veins, man. From start to finish.
Dude, it was crazy. It was awesome. The whole thing. Finally, when they got to like the fuckery and like, because you were waiting for it. You were really waiting for it. You're like, all right, cool. They're beating the shit out of each other. There's a hell of a lot of near fucking falls mm-hmm. to lead up to those points, like crazy yeah. amount. I was like, holy fuck, man. They're not, like, it got me to almost believe, like, there's not going to be anyone coming out. They're just going to fucking do this.
Yeah, it was that entertaining. Because at that point, you didn't need anyone. You're like, mm-mm. This is so fucking good. Maybe they won't. Maybe someone won't come out. It's just going to be him beating him clean.
I questioned it until finally Jimmy came out. I was like, all right, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like you're picking them off as you fucking go. You're like, all right, Solo's coming out. Like, all right, well, who's fucking coming out? Fucking Cena comes out. You're like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then The Rock and Cena have their rehash of their WrestleMania. Kind of like the Hogan Rock-esque stare down and look at the crowd type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking The Rock. We got The Rock to come out. We got to see The Rock in all his glory. I love that. I did love that I was able to be there for The Rock in the ring and doing something like cool instead of shooting like fire and into a fucking like we got to see like I know Monday was a lot more telling with The Rock, but we got to see like it's like
classic. Exactly, like the hits.
It was a fucking rarity. It's like one of those things where, like, man, I would have never thought. I wouldn't have. Would have never thought like WrestleMania 40 would come around. It would be in my city. I'd be able to fucking go to it. I would have The Rock fucking doing something like really fucking meaningful, firing on all sorts of fucking cylinders. like really laying in the fucking everything. Like, I would have never thought that. And like, we got to see like The Rock come out and fucking, hey, the gong was fucking, you're like, cause it was like, it was long. It felt, it was probably maybe 30 seconds of it happening, but it felt like it was fucking, it was just minutes and minutes and minutes. Like tens and tens of minutes went by. You're like, all right, who the fuck's coming out? Like, it could have been, it could have been midnight at that point. It's like, it could have already fast forwarded. It felt like an hour and a half.
I almost had like an out of body experience when the lights went out because I was so excited that it was him. When I'm jumping, like, I could see myself jumping up and down and slapping the top of your shoulder, like, in just this unbridled joy. I could not believe it was happening. Like, I could see myself jumping up and down and just smacking you on the shoulder. And,
if,
like,
if Austin came out?
What?
If Austin came out?
Yeah. Oh, if that would have happened, I don't even know how we would have reacted.
My dad might have been two rows down. we might have been picking people up.
Yeah, we might have. But yeah, I mean,
that was just it, and then the fucking finally Cody fucking wins. You're just like, all right, the worry is gone. The stress is gone that they were going to screw Cody again for the second time. You're just like, they did it, and mm-hmm. you were at peace. You're like, ah, oh, you just watched, like, you just went on this fucking roller coaster of emotions, and you're just like, now I'm at peace.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, you weren't at peace. you weren't at peace because, so I took a reaction video because I wanted to hear Samantha Irvin call the new champion.
Yo, man, how is she catching shit, dude? She's fucking great.
Dude, and it was because she was emotional. Like, that's fucking great. But that crowd was so loud, we could not even hear her over the crowd. So I'm getting a reaction video waiting to hear it, and I don't hear it. So then Monday morning, I'm going through all the pictures and stuff, and I play the video. In the, like, first 3 seconds of the video, I hear, "He finishes the fucking story!" And it's you. screaming next to me, and I replayed it like 6 times, crying, laughing. It's so fucking funny. I have to play it for you. Oh my god, it's so funny. He finishes the fucking story.
You can get the good audio played at the end of this show.
I'll try, because it's the crowd noise is really fucking loud, but because obviously I know your voice, it, and you're right fucking next to me, I can hear you say it. It's fucking great.
It was, dude. It was great.
It absolutely it was a perfect part.
It was fucking great. Like I said, it was fucking perfect. It was like the best time, and it ended perfectly. It was like, now we can rest, and now we got the next day.
Yep,
dude. That fucking opening promo with Rock and Cody.
Oh,
dude. We already know, like, Cody's holding it until whenever the Rocket's back. That's it. That's laying there. That was fucking, that had all the emotions in it.
Yeah.
And dude, it was a fucking callback, too. Yep. It was a callback to when Cody came out and interrupted the Rock. Like, how?
Not a lot of people knew that, though. Like, people didn't remember that back in 2013. And I had to explain this to Bill last week because him and Jen went to Raw. They got last-minute tickets. So he was in the building for it. And he was like, we started talking about it being awkward. And I said, do you realize why they did that, the whole belt, handing over the belt? And he goes, no. And I said, back in 2013, he did that to The Rock. He went to The Rock and asked to hold the title. I said, that's a throwback, way long storytelling. And he was like, I don't remember that. I was like, I'm telling 11, you, man.
That's 11-year callback.
Yeah. But like, people in the building at that second didn't understand that and didn't remember that. So that's why the "this is awkward" chant happened on Raw.
It was supposed to be, because it was back then too.
Yeah. But it all made sense. But when you don't know that, yeah, it looks like, what the fuck are we watching? But so when
I thought that was cool, and the way that they left it with whatever he handed to him. What was your guess?
I think it's a watch, a broken watch.
I was going to say it was a receipt.
For what?
For beating Roman. I don't know. I think it's a broken watch.
I think it's a broken watch. Yeah.
What is that symbolism for? He's out of time.
No, because so
he says he knows what it is without even looking at it.
Which is another reason why I think it's a watch. Because Cody is a watch nut. He loves watches. So this, if you were to hand him a watch, a broken watch.
Do you think he gave him Zelda for 64, the cartridge?
No.
No? Mm-mm. You know what this is. You're damn right I do. It's
my broken but he would self. He would know what that feels like in his hand. You know what I mean? He would know what that is.
That's a deep cut.
I don't know if it's the watch that Hunter and Bruce Pritchard and Nick Khan gave to him that was Dusty's that they found. Did you hear that watch?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to maybe it be that. Maybe Rock got his hands on it somehow and did that. Or maybe it was a watch because I know Cody gave Roman, Seth, and Rock all a watch after night one that they all have the same exact watch. So maybe it could be that watch that he gave the Rock. And the Rock shattered it and put it in his hand. Yeah. So, but I think I think that's more likely than the Dusty watch. But yeah, I think it's a watch.
All right. Well, the watch is going to ignite this feud.
Yeah.
For whenever the Rock comes back.
Yep.
All right.
Exciting times. Yeah, we got a lot to look forward to.
We really do. We are very lucky.
We are. We're spoiled as wrestling fans. Absolutely spoiled.
We don't say that enough.
No, we don't. But we are. So thank you for watching and listening. And we hope you enjoyed. Joe, welcome back. It was good sitting and talking with
back,
you.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
We hope everyone enjoyed. Thanks again for watching and listening. And we'll be talking to you very soon. Don't take any shit from anybody.